Good morning. Wakongo, wageni, karibuni. Amjambo. Our sermon text this morning is from Genesis chapter 12. You're welcome to turn to that in your pew Bible if you'd like. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. This is the call of Abram. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. Dislocation. Displacement, dislodgement. God does it again and again and again. He calls out, he sends out, he forces out his people over and over again. Again and again in Scripture, God's people are called sojourners, exiles, strangers, migrants, aliens, refugees. They are sent away in failure as consequences of sin. They are called into new places as the fulfillment of promise. They are forced into new areas to make known the name of the Lord. By any number of means, God's people are dislocated. To be dislocated is uncomfortable at best, but almost always a painful and vulnerable process, costly on many levels, laden with risk. And yet, Scripture is full of this pattern of dislocation. Father Abraham is one of our early foundational demonstrations of this pattern. God tells Abram, "Go from your country, go from your kindred, go from your father's house, go to the land I will show you." Well, this just doesn't make any sense. That God would tell him to leave everything he knows. Leave the culture you know, the ways of life you know, the languages you know, the streams and valleys that you know. Leave the cousins and the uncles and the clans of your people. Leave the elders of your tribe. Leave the land which should be your inheritance and your insurance and your future. And God says to Abram, "Go to the land I will show you." This land I will show you is not necessarily a better place than you are now. There's no indication that it's a good place or a bad place. It may be close, it may be far. You may stay there, Abram, or you may not. Take everything that is certain, God says, because of where you are, and leave it behind for complete uncertainty. Leave behind the social networks that could catch you in times of crisis. Leave behind the knowledge of which streams flow even in times of drought. Leave behind all the tools you have to mitigate risk. Leave behind your earthly security. And as if that isn't crazy enough, God makes these amazing "I will" promises. "I will make of you a great nation, even though I've removed you from your family and you have no heir. I will bless you, even though I have removed you from your land. I will make your name great, even though I'm sending you to a place where nobody knows your name or your father's name or your father's father's name. I will bless all the families of earth through you, a migrant, a wanderer, a sojourner, a man without a home, without a network of support, without a safety net. And what does Abram do? He goes. He goes. In amazing and astounding and deep faith, he goes. He took his wife and his nephew and everything they had, and he left. And they sojourned to a place that already had people in it, the land of Canaan. And as they passed through Canaan, the Lord, who had not yet fulfilled a single one of those I will promises, appears to Abram again and says, "To your descendants I will give this land." And Abram, in astounding devotion and faith, responds in worship, as he would again and again and again. He builds an altar to the Lord. But this is not where Abram is to stop and settle, not at this point. From there, he moves on, and he builds another altar and moves on again, ever towards the Negev, a desert wilderness which the prophet Isaiah calls a land of trouble and anguish. And then, immediately following this amazing act of faithfulness and trust, Abram appears to completely doubt all of God's promises. As they approach Egypt, they begin to lie because Abram is worried that he will be killed because his wife is beautiful, and all of those promises that God made will pass away with his death. So many of our heroes of the Bible are just so human, so much like us, where faith thrives one minute and then doubt the very next. How can our heroes be so conflicted in the midst of God's promises? Altogether, Scripture tells us, despite these stumblings, Abram builds four altars, culminating in the one built for the sacrifice of Isaac. But we know how this turns out. God is faithful. His great I will statements have been fulfilled and are in the process of being fulfilled for 4,000 years. They are fulfilled both now and not yet. We have this amazing passage in Hebrews where we learn more about who God is. Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, we read, "By faith Abram obeyed when he was called to go out to a place he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth." This dislocation experience of Abram was the experience of Isaac, of Jacob, of Joseph, of Moses, of Ruth, of Esther, of Daniel, and of almost every church that appears in the New Testament, churches founded among the diaspora of the Jews. For many of us, dislocation is part of our own experience. In my first career, I was an electrical engineer. My company decided to move me from Seattle to North Carolina. When my wife was a missionary child in Liberia, Civil War moved them back from Africa to the United States. God, through his church, sent me and my wife to Kenya. God uses this dislocation not only to draw or force us to himself, but also to propagate his gospel. Dislocation propagates the gospel. One of the men I am privileged to work with is Okach Omot Opio. Okach is of the Anuak people group who live in the borderlands between Ethiopia and South Sudan in a place called Gambela on the Ethiopia side. Okatch is about 35 years old now, but when he was 1 year old, his father was killed while working in a gold mine far from their home. His mother survived by farming their small piece of land, insisting that her children go to school rather than to help her cultivate. By the age of 15, while still in high school, Okatch was already serving as an evangelist in the Ethiopian Evangelical Church of Mekane Yesus. After completing the 10th grade, he entered the teacher's training college and became a primary school teacher. 2 months after he started teaching, on December 13, 2003, Ethiopian security forces attacked the Anyuak people, targeting those who were educated. 424 Anyuak were killed in that first sweep, and it was followed by further massacre, with over 2,000 Anyuak ultimately being slaughtered, including two of Okatch's uncles. At just 19 years old, his hard-earned education now endangering his life, Okatch fled from Ethiopia across the border to South Sudan with about 4,000 of his tribe mates to seek protection in a refugee camp. Okatch lived in that camp for the next 9 years. He met a young woman from his tribe, they married, they had two children, and he planted a church. In 2012, Ethiopian security forces crossed the border into South Sudan, entered the camp, killed three of the refugees, and captured four to take back to Ethiopia. The refugee camp was no longer a place of refuge. Okatch and his small family fled deeper into South Sudan to a camp by the capital city of Juba. In that second refugee camp, Okatch planted a church and began translating Luther's small catechism into his native tongue, the Anyuak. His wife was pregnant with their third child when they were relocated by the refugee service from South Sudan to another camp in Kenya, their third refugee camp. At the camp in Kenya, Okatch planted a church. He completed the small catechism translation project. He got connected with Lutheran Heritage Foundation, who would publish his catechism. And in 2016, he was introduced to me as a candidate for seminary. We sent him to a seminary in Kenya on a scholarship. On those first school breaks, Okatch would ask for funds for transport to reach other camps where the Anyuak people were. During those outreaches, Okatch would take Bibles, his new the Anyuak catechism, and he would teach, planting churches as he went. After his first year of seminary, Kenya closed the camp where his family was living. Eligible refugees were relocated 750 miles across Kenya to a brand new camp being built. The congregation that Okatch had begun in the camp took as much of the tin sheeting from their church as they could, but when they arrived at the new place, they were scattered. Okatch continued at the seminary and on school breaks went back to the new camp to try and regroup the congregation. And when he found members who were too far away, he planted new congregations around them. Their fourth child was born last year in the fourth refugee camp that Okatch has called home over the past decade and a half. In March, Okatch graduated from seminary and was certified for ordination. He has an abiding faith, a deep reliance on God. The Lord has brought this dear man through dislocation after dislocation. And in every place, Okatch's response has been to build an altar to the Lord, to start a church, to teach, and to preach. He's like the prophet Jeremiah, who struggled with God's word, considering whether he could hold it inside and not prophesy to God's people. Jeremiah declared, "If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot." Like Abram, like Okatch, like Christ, you also have been dislocated. You have been set apart. Abram was called out of pagan idolatry into faith, the same way you were, whether in your baptism as an infant or whether in hearing the gospel as an adult. In your baptism, you were changed. You were branded with a badge that is visible only in the spiritual realm. The pastor spoke these words as you were baptized. The sign of the cross on your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Jesus says in his high priestly prayer in John 17 that you, his people, are no longer of the world, but that he has sent you into the world. You have been dislocated. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we read these amazing words. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God. God has done this for a reason. He has set you apart so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness. He has dislocated you so that the Gentiles may see your good deeds and glorify God. Are you worried that if you open your mouth, you might offend someone? Worried that if you mention Jesus' name, someone will make fun of you? Concerned that you will be embarrassed when speaking of your faith? Give up that pride. Give up with it the concerns for shame or embarrassment. Relationships are far more robust than we give them credit for. You can be who God has made you to be. Don't hide the cross. It is offensive. We know that. It is foolishness to the Greeks. We know that too. People will be offended by the cross and by your testimony. And that's okay. It's worth offense and the risk of offense to walk with someone into eternal life. Remember that you are the result of God's faithfulness to Abraham. You are the heirs with him of the same promise, just like Isaac and Jacob. You are but one part of the great nation that Abraham was promised. Do you remember the children's song? Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. Jesus Christ is the complete fulfillment of the promise to bless all families of the earth, and your faith in Christ holds to that fulfillment. God was faithful to Abraham, and he remains faithful to this day. Faithful to you, and faithful to those that God brings to faith through you, be they your children or grandchildren, neighbors or shopkeepers, co-workers or friends. God has already removed you from your comfort zone. He has already set you apart. He has already dislocated you, bringing you from pagan heathenism to the foot of the cross. In baptism, he made you his own. He called you into a new family. He marked you with the cross. He pardoned your sin. He created faith in you. He dislocated you. His amazing absolution is yours in the astounding words your pastor spoke at the beginning of this service about forgiveness. Forgiveness is for you in the bread and the wine, the body and the blood of our Lord. You have been set apart from all the rest of a fallen creation because you are reconciled with the Creator. You are restored. You are forgiven. You are a new creation every day. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out in good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.